Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, broadcasting out of Spokane, 96.5 FM and the AM dial at 630, plus our live streaming. And that's for the folks that are listening right now as we're going out over the airwaves. We are also available at Podbean. This is a Radio Free Redoubt production, so we are also over there at Podbean. RadioFreeRedoubt.podbean.com. If you go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Listen to RFR tab. That page will open up to show you all the different ways you can listen to our shows, including the archives, and go back and share and listen and download those. So good morning, Lady Liberty. How you doing?
Wonderful. And good morning to you, and good morning to everyone out there. This is the beginning of our great Thursday that we're going to have.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of great, I know we need to get into the word of the day, which I'm looking very much forward to. But man, I'm just so excited about this little wonderful piece of news about Kyle Rittenhouse. Apparently, from the National File, Illinois prosecutors announced that they will not file charges against Kyle Rittenhouse. Now remember, this is just Illinois. He's not out of the woods yet. We've got a lot of rogue attorney generals that are siding with the communists and the leftists. So they're bringing charges against patriots for doing patriot-y things. And they are dropping charges or failing to pursue charges against communists for doing commie things. But in this case, this is a small victory. We'll take them where we can get them. Investigation finds that Rittenhouse's rifle was not bought, used, or stored in Illinois. They were trying to get him, like, you know, carrying firearms across state lines, and the firearm he would have owned it illegally if he had it and possessed it in Illinois, and so on and so forth. So, that's the latest update there. We're going to continue to follow that, and just remember him in your prayers. That's quite the amazing young patriot there, deserving an award, a citation, and not like the ticket kind of citation. But
I agree. I still have just absolutely blown away by his demeanor throughout that whole thing. Oh,
amazing.
My gosh.
An example.
Yeah, I would be hard-pressed to find anybody outside of a very, very astute military person that, you know what I mean?
Disciplined,
it's like somebody that has been
institutionalized,
right,
disciplined type of training. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. The level of self control and poise, and the type of training that law enforcement and military go through in various different shoot, don't shoot scenarios, where you're presented with a number of targets, you have to make very, very fast decisions under a lot of pressure,
right?
And they try to make it as they try to place the shooter, the trainee, under as much pressure as they can, but there's still no way you can completely duplicate a real world scenario where you're actually shooting people and killing people and they're trying to kill you.
Right.
You can't duplicate that. Only a real world situation can present that. So, but they try to train to the highest level of, stress and multiple different rapidly developing conditions for your mind to process and make quick decisions. And everybody fails miserably at the beginning, and you slowly keep getting better and better the more you're subjected to that type of training.
Yep.
The way he performed,
he was like a pro.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So I think the boy's been raised right, and I think he's surrounded himself with a lot of influences.
Yeah, incredible head on his shoulders.
It's amazing how much of that comes from first-person shooter video games, actually. They're amazing simulators, training simulators.
And really have you read things that he has had a lot of experience with?
But that generation, you know, they're exposed to so many of those,
right?
That type of training, which is it's like a flight simulator for an airplane. It's a fight simulator for combat, and there's definitely a lot of studies have shown the marked difference between folks that have had that type of simulation training and not, and they incorporate it into law enforcement and military.
Right, right.
You know, for a reason. So
whatever the case is, whatever that kid had going on before that happened, holy cow, he just endlessly impressive to me.
And probably had the Lord's hand over him too.
Sure.
I think his pastor is one of the first people that were.
Oh, really?
That were brought in to the. To the
response.
I have to go back and find that again. I was like, oh, his pastor. Ooh, I just remember seeing his pastor and had been in contact with the family or with Kyle in jail.
Well,
one of the two.
It wasn't just the fact that he remained calm and he showed excellent decision making. It was like even when the level of intensification was just at the utmost, like at that point where they're swinging the skateboards at the back of his neck, and then that one kid, the other guy pulled out the gun, and his ability to respond that quickly when it escalated that fast, I mean, his response time was just phenomenal. I was amazed.
Yep.
So yeah, well, all the best to him.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. So it's a good little update there. So what do we have for the word of the day?
The word of the day for Thursday comes to us from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, which read, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" And so the rest of that passage, if you were going to look it up, that is Matthew chapter 18, starts at 21 and finishes at verse 35. And that is the parable of the unforgiving servant. And so what is really interesting about this whole thing about the forgiveness is that you're supposed to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And again, In Bible study, you read that. In fact, I was looking this up because I looked into this a little bit more because of previous statements that we've made about it. And when I looked in the back of my Bible, it describes because it showed a study. You know, like if you wanted to look into this more, here's a particular study that the authors of the New King James Version published. And that question that went along with that is, what sin particularly blocks the flow of kingdom power? And of course, I did not know that. And so the answer to that is lack of forgiveness blocks access to the kingdom and to its marvelous power. And it cites the parable of the unforgiving servant,
right?
And also you can see Matthew chapter 6 verses 5 through 15, as well as Mark chapter 11 22 through 26. And so it just I find it very interesting that the probably the biggest sin that can prevent the flow of kingdom power in your life is lack of forgiveness. And
yep.
So
that's a very critical component, that one of the number one things that will block the Lord working in your life, you know, miraculously.
Yep.
And unforgiveness. And we came across that in a few of our Bible studies just recently, late this summer. We kept seeing that recurring theme there.
Yeah.
You have to forgive others before you can expect blessings.
Right.
We pray for blessings, we pray for healing, we pray for this, pray for that, and we just can't figure out why it's not happening. But there's multiple scriptures that point very clearly to that. Your lack of forgiveness of something or someone, something somewhere, is will block those blessings.
Right.
You know, it might not be the case in your case if you're praying for something and it's not coming true, just coming through. It just may not be the Lord's will, or a number of other factors, but but it could be something for you to take a look at if you're not sure why it feels like you're not getting blessed or your things aren't working out
right,
like
right.
You think they should and you think you're doing everything right. Take right. a look at that.
That's right. Yeah. And it says here the two that people often overlook in forgiveness is number one, themselves. And then number two, God. A lot of people actually blame God for things in their life. And,
right.
and so those are two, I mean, it's sometimes it's easier to remember the guy that, you know, offended you that seems to be on the front of your mind, but oftentimes you forget about yourself. You know, you condemn yourself quite often for all sorts of different things because you truly are the only one other than God that knows what you're guilty of, right?
Right.
And so there's an awful lot of self-condemnation as well. But so then they cite those two, yourself and God. And so what a scary thing to think that you'd be trying to condemn God as the creation, right?
Well,
you know
right
what I
now,
mean? We
yeah.
are the creation. He's the creator. And yeah. us trying to condemn him. Are you kidding, right?
I know. No kidding. Well, that's the kind of stuff that we try to pull, though.
I know.
It?
Well, yes, in our own little worlds where we are own God, right?
Well, right now, you know, I had that tab open where there's an interview with Jim Caviezel talking about how, you know, intense persecution is rapidly coming for Christians right now and how important it is for us to cling to him, to be in his word, start understanding, searching him out, seeking him out, and staying as close to him as we can because of the times that we're in.
Right.
And, you know, so this kind of stuff is, you know, super important. And we have to understand these things. You know, there's an article right here out of Todd Starnes, actually. He's a pundit, a television show, and most people have heard of him. But he's got a website here, and he just picked up on this one. Christians under investigation by Nashville Health Department over their worship service.
Oh, boy.
Let Us Worship is a prayer event. It was held outside the city's Metro Courthouse on Sunday. It attracted about 10,000 worshipers. Now, you look at this. There's no social distancing. There's no, some people are wearing masks, but it is a let us worship freely
yep.
in liberty without these restrictions of this, you know, there's the clear definer right there. I mean, it's,
right.
it's Christians and the world or Christ and globalism, you know, Christianity and communism, Americanism versus, the world's standards and the mask, it is just like a visible, it's almost like, I don't know.
It's like the symbolism of a globalist or a symbolism of the evil in our world, right? It's like the symbol of maybe even just flat out deception.
Well, it is deception. It's pure deception because it is the deception is that it helps that this is the thing. If you don't wear this, you're a murderer. You should be facing attempted murder charges because you're placing other people's lives in danger when the opposite is the true
yep.
is the truth. And
right.
the mask is the outside, the outward symbol is the symbology of it and what it's come to represent.
Right.
It is the clear divider between sides.
Right. And, you know, in fact, I was listening to a sermon earlier today and something occurred to me because the pastor was speaking. He was talking about truth and it occurred to me that that would be why God never changes, because God is truth and truth never changes. And so, you know, when we're talking about deception being the constant corroding factor with what we're dealing with in our lives lately, it's no wonder that, you know, we have to remember that God never changes. And the deceiver changes constantly. He can provide, you know, 500 different definitions for something.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, there's only one true definition for each thing, right? So you've got the truth or you've got deception. And so I just felt some comfort knowing that the truth always is the truth.
Right. Yep.
You know, and likewise, so is God, because God is truth. So
exactly.
Now, there was you're talking about that situation there with them being
investigated,
more or less. And
they said that they are going to bring appropriate penalties against the organizer, which is a Christian singer.
Well, you know what?
Personality.
We've got a counter to that action. You want to hear it?
Yo, I do.
Okay, so the Justice Department sides with the D.C. church in opposing COVID restrictions.
Nice.
So they can take that. And by the way, good job, William Barr, on that one. The Trump administration is supporting a church's federal lawsuit challenging the District of Columbia's pandemic-related restrictions, limiting church gatherings, even those outdoors, to 100 people. The U.S. Department of Justice, go get them, by the way, filed a document called a Statement of Interest in the legal proceeding initiated by Capitol Hill Baptist Church, arguing the district government's limit on the size of church gatherings runs afoul of the First Amendment and federal law. The lawsuit, known as Capitol Hill Baptist Church versus Bowser, claims that religious organizations are being restricted unfairly while political protests, such as those held by Black Lives Matter and other First Amendment-protected activities, are allowed to operate freely. So, bang, they can take that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And William Barr has said this repeatedly. They are big time going to go after religious attacks, attacks upon the whole religious community. Anything religion and church related, where we're seeing this COVID-19 thing used to the advantage of the communists and, you know, the whole liberal agenda, they're going after it.
That's right.
So that's an excellent case right there. And I just hope they have enough time to help these people out in the case you're talking about as well.
I do too. And there are several cases, and we're going to be talking about those when we come back from the break. Super important. But let's take a break real quick. And I also have an audio that I'm going to play during the break. President Trump speaking yesterday about the,
well, to the Economic Club in New York.
Yeah. Thank you. That's, I was drawing a blank on that. So, yeah, look forward to having that, listening to that. Maybe we'll talk about it after the break. We'll have to come back and jump right into it. So this segment is brought to you by Strategic Self-Defense, helping to give you the home field advantage to overcome threats, planning around and equipping around your home, your business, your property, your vehicles. And they do a great job with that. StrategicSelf-Defense.com. Check them out today. We'll be back right after this.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalist, socialist, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
China unleashed the virus onto the world, and only a Trump administration will hold them accountable. And if this administration, if I don't get elected in a little while, 20 days, China will own the United States. I can tell you that. When the China virus arrived, we launched the largest mobilization since World War II. To defeat the virus, I'm breaking through every obstacle, cutting every piece of red tape, and moving heaven and earth. The FDA has been fantastic. They're approving things in 1 week that would have taken 2 years. I'm not interested in making friends in the corrupt media, and it is corrupt. My sole focus is protecting American lives and making lives good for American people. We'll beat this virus and we'll eradicate this pestilence and all of the things that happened to our country, our lives, and our planet. Our aggressive and early action saved up to 2 million lives. If you look at the original numbers, it was projected at 2.2 million lives. We're at 210,000, and one is too many. It should have never happened, should have never been allowed to happen by China.
Welcome back to segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Hopefully you guys are having a blessed one. And if you guys are just tuning in late, then good morning to you guys. We're talking about some of the, well, we've got a lot of folks are getting their ballots in the mail, receiving those already. And so we have some decisions about the direction of that our country and our individual states are going to go.
And can I just recommend that you get your ballot and you take it down to the courthouse yourself? I mean, I would not trust the Postal Service at all at this point. I mean, I already don't. I mean, there's been so many that have been thrown away that are Trump supporting.
Another story.
Just
another one came out with a postal worker found with mail supposed to be delivering on his route or picking up and taking to the post office is in trash bags that he set out on the street for the garbage truck to come and pick up.
My gosh.
And there's no, you know, motive there, like the guy's trying to disrupt the election, or if he's just lazy and wanted to, you know, cut his route short because he wanted to go fishing. I don't know.
You have to say, well, I think that's pretty obvious considering how this is happening across the whole United States.
Right. It doesn't matter why. The point is what you said, dead on. Take it down there, drive it down to the elections office and drop it off
personally.
Do
not mail them in.
Yeah, especially if you are voting, you know, American. If you're voting communist,
then go ahead.
Democrat,
apparently
then,
they have no problem.
Mail.
Yeah, right. Apparently the post office has no problem with Democrat communists.
Yeah,
you know,
they'll
votes.
Lose. So, yeah, they'll throw those away. So, but anyway, there we go.
That's right. And so, while you're looking at your ballots, just flat out know that Democrat equals communist. And in fact, you heard Trump just say it again. If he is not elected, China will then have the nation.
Yep.
And it's absolutely correct.
It's true. It's not hyperbole.
Nope.
It's not sensationalism.
Nope. We have been completely, I don't know what you say. They have managed stealth across our nation, and they've got the drop on us right now. They're just basically waiting to step into power.
Yeah, well, they've achieved apathy on the American people's part.
Yep,
they've taken over our education system.
Yes,
so the youth, a large percentage of the youth, are, you know, demanding socialism, communism, or democracy,
and
mob rule,
and their 10 million man army that is disguising themselves as Americans across our social media, telling us what we all think and believe, you know, and disguising themselves as white Americans, and especially young attractive women that just so happen to look like models, right? There seems to be a key misnomer that they are overlooking.
Yeah, they're hacker bandits.
Social
media bandits.
Chinese paid 10 million man army of social media manipulators.
Well, I've got another one right here. This is over at Culp for Governor with another headline over there. The World Health Organization, Open Washington is their page titled Open Washington. Everyday Matters. Jay Inslee was quick to lock the state down. This lockdown was only supposed to be temporary. It was designed just to flatten the curve, not to create power for the current governor. He was quick to take everything away, making his own decisions without the legislatures and paying overpriced consultants at $167,000 a week to make decisions that favor corporate America. Not once has he said he was wrong. Instead, he blames the president. And here's the report right here. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns. We're talking about further lockdowns as the primary means of control of this virus. I can't believe this is actually coming from the World Health Organization, but they're saying this is a major mistake. We've learned about the virus. This is not the way to handle it. Of course, their idea is actually going to be a super vaccine, which is going to be worse than anything. But real quick, and then I know you've got something you wanted to share as well. I'm going to hand this off to you real quick. But when will it end? This is the summary at the Culp for Governor website. With no input from state legislators, who are actually the ones who make law, the governor made a personal decision aided by private high-paid consultants to use his executive powers to issue a proclamation on March 23rd. What date is it today? He specified that the purpose of the shelter in place was to ensure hospitals were not over capacity. It was set to expire April 29th. It is now, according to their website, October 13th. But more than that, it's October 15th now. And still, we have this. And he just got an F. The Democrat governor just got an F for the fifth straight time for this financial economic performance, according to the Cato Institute.
Right. And so as we all have our ballots here, I just wanted to point out something critical. As far as the state goes and how we can make the biggest and most effective changes in our state by voting, the two top positions that are most critical are going to be the governor. And of course, we are going to vote for Culp. We have to come out in force for Culp. We have to get rid of this communist supporting lost individual that is calling himself a governor. Inslee has got to go. The second most important office you have to elect is going to be the attorney general.
Oh, boy.
And the person that we are going to vote for is Matt Larkin. We must get rid of Bob Ferguson.
Absolutely.
He and Inslee are probably the two very most dangerous people on the western side of the United States.
Enforcing a wicked agenda.
Yep.
You want to talk about the persecution? Who's actually going to be doing the persecution? Who's going to be issuing the orders of persecution? Those two names right there. I guarantee it. Mark my words.
Yep. So we have to elect Matt Larkin for attorney general and Lauren Culp for governor. Those two, if you miss out on all the rest of them, those two are the very most important things that the people that we have to agree on and get into office.
Yes, indeed they are. Wow. All right. Well, there's a lot more that we could cover, of course. We're going to save it for tomorrow morning. And the notes and the information and the research just keep stacking up. But we're going to keep shoveling at you.
Yeah, we've got another good hour here we didn't cover.
That's right. All right, folks, you have a blessed day. You be safe out there. And join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. God bless.
Have a great Thursday and blessings to everyone.